How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carl. Along with me is Tanya from When It Was Cool. Hello.
Hello.
So we have a review of a current TV series, I guess you would say, a streaming series. It's on Netflix. It's been very topical here lately, and a lot of people talking about it. It's one of the most popular shows, may have been the most popular show recently on Netflix, Dahmer Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. And so this is, I know we're doing monsters and horror and things like that this Halloween, this October, where we celebrate Halloween all month long at whenitwascool.com. And this isn't a, you know, one of your classic fictional monsters. It turns out this was a real life, real world monster, one of the grisliest serial killers, I would say, of our time. You're into a lot of true crime stuff. You listen to true crime podcasts and read true crime books and stuff. Obviously, I mean, anybody that's even paid remote attention knows who Jeffrey Dahmer is for the most part. Right. Would you say he's probably the most, one of the most well-known serial killers in American history?
Probably.
Yeah, because I would think the clown guy,
John Wayne Gacy,
and Ed Gein. Yeah. Would maybe Zodiac Killer. Some of those would be, you know, some of your more well-known, Son of Sam. But I think Jeffrey Dahmer, I mean,
Bundy.
Yeah, Ted Bundy, for sure. Yeah, you know, Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer may be close to that same level of fame and notoriety. What do you think it is about Jeffrey Dahmer's story that so many people are drawn to? Is it just the grisly nature of it, or do you think there's something more to it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's any different than why are we drawn to any true crime? You know, I mean, yeah. That's the, I don't know, because I watch tons of it, and it's just interesting to me. I don't know. But
I think of it, a lot of it has to do with just, you know, the trying to, you know, understand, did this person really do it, or are there other suspects? You know, a lot of this true crime stuff I've noticed tries to throw into question whether the person actually done it or not. With Jeffrey Dahmer, he just straight up tells you he done it and told the police all the facts, and in a very just straightforward manner. I, you know, obviously I'd heard of him, but I didn't know that much of the details about it. So when this Netflix series, again, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer, came out September 21st of 2022, you and I watched the series all the way through. I found it very captivating, and I had no idea this guy was as, I don't know what the word is. He's just grisly, yes. Methodical, yes. Just, I mean, there was a lot of this stuff that shocked me, quite frankly. I mean, the cannibalism, the multiple. How many people ultimately did it say he ended up killing? Wasn't like
17.
Yeah, so he lured these people in to, you know, many of them, he killed some people at different places, but most of them were lured into an apartment building where he lived. And it was not unknown to the police, and that was a large aspect of this story. There have been many complaints filed against him for something going on in his apartment. People literally
not
had
just that. There were complaints about him in those, what did they call them, bathhouses,
right?
And where he would go to these. He was a homosexual, mm-hmm. and obviously he would go to these clubs and he would meet people there and he would take them. And I'd never heard of bathhouses, What is it, like a hotel top dilly thing? I don't know. I didn't look it up. Right. I really don't know still and yet what exactly that is.
But it's something to do with that lifestyle, that club and lifestyle.
Okay, so there had already been, he was banned from one, and that owner told many other clubs about him. And so it was known that he done these things.
He was drugging people.
And, I don't know. So, I mean, he had obviously probably had more run-ins with law enforcement than, you know, way before he was ever found out.
Yeah. One thing that was striking, very striking to me, and maybe you feel differently, I don't know, but I found the resemblance between Evan Peters, who played Jeffrey Dahmer, and the real-life Jeffrey Dahmer to be a little too close for comfort. I thought
he did the best job. I've seen several different things on Dahmer, or just, you know, turned it on for a moment and watched, and, you know, just caught several different things where other people played him. I think Evan Peters did the best job.
I think he looked the most like him.
Yeah.
We knew Evan Peters from American Horror Story, right? He's a recurring actor on that show. It's very... His whole demeanor was really weird. And I mentioned to you, I said, it's almost like he's Napoleon Dynamite or something, the way he carries himself. You didn't really get that vibe. But then I saw a meme online that said something about, wow, this Napoleon Dynamite sequel is a lot darker than I expected. And so I'm not the only person that thought that. But I guess what it was trying to convey was he was very socially weird and awkward, and clearly, and in fact, his whole social awkwardness and the way he carried himself in this miniseries, didn't they try to say that had something to do with a fever or something he had as a kid? What was something about that? Some sort of infection or something he had back when he was younger. His dad, you don't remember that at all. They said he had something. He was never the same after he had some sort of surgery or something.
I can't remember what it was that he had surgery.
But do you remember that? I'm not confusing that with something else.
No, yeah, you're right, but I don't remember what. I can't remember, because didn't it go back to that, like, and say something about that, and say something about that may have been, I don't know. I can't remember that part of it.
His dad was an interesting character.
His mom was on all kinds of pills while she was pregnant with him. And
she seemed to obviously have a lot of mental health issues.
Well, the dad and her yelled and fought all the time at each other in front of the little boy. And so I'm sure that didn't help. It was probably a number of things that, you know. But he said that he felt he was just always that way.
Yeah, he made no excuse for it, at least the character in this story. Now, how close this is to the reality of who Jeffrey Dahmer was, I don't know. You would come better to knowing this than I am. So I'm just taking it as this whole miniseries played pretty close to the facts. And if it did so, then he was, I mean, just this soulless sort of murderer, in that he just was compulsed to do these things. He's got a brother apparently that, you know, was largely average by all accounts, and so it's just very, I don't know, very how would you describe him? It's hard to describe.
I don't think
him.
I would even say that he was soulless, because I mean, and a lot of people might think, how could you, but I don't care, because I mean, if this story is even remotely close to anything of the truth, then the way it portrayed him in here is that, like, he's obviously had abandonment issues. He said, you know, because I mean, he kept saying over and over before his company would leave everybody leaves me, don't leave, even though these people would have to get to work or just whatever it may be. And that's not excusing it away, but it's like something flipped in him.
It seemed like he could be
a kind person, and then, I mean, and even that one guy that he was seeing a lot of, the one Tony Hughes.
Right, right.
And they were seeing each other pretty regularly.
Yeah, they seem like they were developing like an actual relationship.
Right. Well, he seemed to have something that, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's almost as if it only happened when he felt the threat of abandonment. Like, because, you know, he obviously spent time in public with that Tony Hughes guy having dinners and different things, and he never impulsively just killed him right there. It wasn't until, you know, after they had spent the night together at his apartment for maybe the first time or whatever, and the Tony Hughes guy said, well, you know, I'll be back, which we didn't say it.
Yeah, he had a job.
And so he was telling him he would see him the next week, and he was promising him and everything. And it seemed like Dahmer, just the way they played this, felt secure with that until he came.
He forgot his keys and came back.
Yeah, and then it's like he just flipped.
And
almost is like, and in certain other parts of it too, like he would switch off, you know, I mean, with the hitchhiker, the first guy, and then the other guy in the hotel, he said he did not remember. Like, well, he said they were accidents, remember?
Yeah, right. And there's been a lot of criticism about this series. I've seen it online quite a bit. I think a lot of people are upset with the humanization of Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, and Evan Peters definitely humanized him. I mean, like, as you even alluded to, It didn't show just the, you know, and he did so many horrible things. I mean, you think about all the killing he did and the cannibalism and the, you know, in his grandma's house, part of this happened, and just all these things that absolutely point to him being a true monster. But at the same time, the way Evan Peters portrayed him and the way he was written in this, you got to see the other side of him as well, where it seemed like, you know, there was, beyond the compulsion of his killing,
a sick person in there.
Yeah, a sick person in
there.
And
Evan Peters, even, I read something that he said where he said as much. He said playing Dahmer, out of all the roles that he's played, was the hardest one because of that fact. Yeah. That he had to, you know, he had to be this monster, but yet then this person that didn't really exactly know what they were doing.
Right. What have you thought about Evan Peters before this?
I've liked him in everything that I've watched him in. I liked him from the very first Monster House, American Horror Story.
Yeah, he was hit and miss with me through American Horror Story. But honestly, the American Horror Story was hit and miss with me. Just depending on the season.
As it went on, some of the seasons I didn't care for as much as others.
Right, but he, oftentimes his character was one of my more favorite ones on there. And by the way, there are other well-known people who are in this series as well. You pointed out to me that the stepmom was Molly Ringwald. I would have never have recognized her in a million years.
The dad.
Yes. Richard Jenkins, who was the dad from Step Brothers, and a million other things.
And I genuinely felt for this character throughout the whole series. Like, he was, I don't know, he was my favorite, I think.
And I think so, too.
I really felt for him.
And obviously, he was off a little bit. Off.
Well, well, the first time I thought anything negative or, well, I mean, anything was when, you know, obviously Dahmer started trying to tell him in that diner that day that he thought about things that he shouldn't be thinking about. And his daddy cut him off real quick and said, you know where you're going? We're going to send you to that university.
Right.
And, you know, was going to send him to college.
And we find out later on is because his dad had also had these compulsions or some degree of them, although there's no indication, at least from this series, that his dad ever acted on them beyond the very creepy and weird roadkill hobby that they had, where they basically taxidermied roadkill and dissected it and whatever. It just seems like not exactly the most, you know, middle of the road hobby to do with your son, but
I mean, as he explained it though, he said his son was showing interest in something,
yeah,
and he never had showed interest in anything before.
Yeah, but that was a bit too far for me.
Well, I mean, I definitely wouldn't be getting roadkill. That's disgusting. But anyway.
It was interesting, though, because of his dad's admitted compulsion of that later on, because we did see sort of signs for that. And to me, that was one of the signs that, I don't know, his dad's not, I won't say enabling this, but he's turning a blind eye to some of it. So, all right, so let's talk a little bit about the show as we go along. We'll comment where necessary. Dahmer Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, is a limited series for Netflix about serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. Created by Ryan Murphy and Ian Brennan, it stars Evan Peters as Dahmer, alongside Richard Jenkins, Molly Ringwald, Michael Learned, and Niecy Nash. All 10 episodes of the series were released September 21st, 2022. It received mixed reviews, with praise for Peters' performance, but criticism for the way it was portrayed. And again, I don't think there's any way you could do it, because people don't want to humanize Dahmer. They want him to be this monster. They want him to, and he is, mind you. But because this did humanize him, I think it angered a lot of people. And obviously,
yeah, but was that on purpose? I mean, because the name of the show was Monster. So
I think they purposely tried
to humanize him, so you know, people would feel for him, or Mike could feel for him, or see him as an individual who has all the same, you know, everything. Just like any one of us. Yeah.
Well, I wrestled with this a little bit as we watched it, because I thought, you know, while this is very interesting to you and I and all this, what if you were one of the victims' families and you watch this and you're seeing him portrayed in this kind of good light? But I thought they also did a good job humanizing also the victims. And I know way more about, and now care way more about, a lot of his victims than I ever did before. Well, do you think that's fair?
Mean, because like I said, I've seen much on Jeffrey Dahmer and his victims, and I was always, it was just always known to me as he killed 17 young men. I never really knew much about them, but in this story, I learned about each, you know, the ones that they put forth. You know, they didn't really do every single, all 17, but there were a handful of them that you learned about in this, like the Loatian boy and the
Glenda Cleveland, and
his neighbor. And obviously his parents, which I had never knew even existed. Sure. I didn't know, you know, because I never really looked that far into the story to find out more about Dahmer when I would see things about him to even know if his dad was still alive or anything. But you know, in this story, it brings all that forth, and you learn, you know, and then about Tony Hughes, the deaf boy that he murdered. It was very interesting.
Yeah. I should point out also that Michael Learned, that's the mom from the Waltons in her very old age. She was, you know.
Her name's Michael?
That's how it's written. So I'm presuming for her. But anyway, it's Mama Walton is who that was. And now I had no idea she was still alive. I thought she died. You know, she died off on the Walton show. The few seasons went by with that character had been, you know, sent to I think she had tuberculosis or something like that in the series. So I just thought she died back then, but I guess not. But I thought she did a real good job as grandma. Really, every performance in here I thought was pretty good. Did anybody stick out to you as not so great? Because I thought everybody in this thing did a good job.
No, I thought everybody did a good job, too.
Yeah. Okay.
There wasn't any bad acting in this.
No, I don't think. No, it was very well done. On par with, you know, the best, you know, primetime series I've seen. Okay, so critical response here. This is, I think, bearing some discussion. Dahmer Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, received mixed reviews from critics who praised Peter's performance but criticized the inconsistencies and over-dramatized tones, calling the show another showcase of Dahmer and his killing spree. The review aggregator website Rotten Tomatoes reported a 53% approval rating with an average of 6 out of 10. The website's critics' consensus reads, "While Monster is seemingly self-aware of the peril in glorifying Jeffrey Dahmer, creator Ryan Murphy's salacious style nevertheless tilts this horror story into the realm of queasy exploitation. Do you find this exploitative a little too grisly, a little too grim? Or I thought it actually didn't go that far toward
you know
that.
There wasn't near as much visual gore or anything that I seen throughout this whole thing. I know a lot of people were, it was all over Facebook, you know, a lot of people were saying, I'm not going to watch it. I can't do it, you know, and it wasn't gory, but it was something like the feel, the tone of it.
Uneasy.
And it was in a different way and not gory visually, but just a feeling, just an overall, I don't know. It was
compared to like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was loosely based on the Ed Gein story, and Ed Gein was brought up in this. It wasn't near gory like that or, you know, any of your horror movies, certainly nothing like Saw or anything like that, where it's just literally the shocking scenes over and over. It really wasn't that. And I think a lot of this is just people, you know, sort of the white knight sort of attitude that you get online nowadays, where people just feel like they have to say, oh, I can't watch that. It's glorifying Jeffrey Dahmer or something, so they can make sure.
I mean, I could see where people might would think that, you know, because I wasn't aware that all, you know, like after on this show, after he goes to prison, he starts getting those letters and people would send him money. And I wasn't aware of all that. I didn't realize that, oh, you know, people were making money off of him and he was getting money sent to him and this and that. But, you know, after that, I could see where they would think that this was just another one of those.
Yeah. Well, and what kind of people were those that were sending him money in prison and love letters
and making comics out
comics
of him?
Yeah.
Put him on the front of a Christmas card as like,
yeah, just
Santa Claus.
There's a whole psychological rabbit hole you could go down just with that. That's just, I don't even know what to make of that. That'd be interesting fodder for a show sometime in the future. I was looking ahead right here, and I have to agree with this. Kayla Cobb at The Decider said that the show, quote, isn't just well directed, written, and acted. It's rewriting what a crime drama can look like if we stop glorifying murderers and start focusing more on systematic failures. And I think that's right. A lot of the people that may be criticizing this Dahmer story by giving, you know, Dahmer more fame and focusing on him are missing, I think, a lot, because this really did focus on the failures of the police department, of the district attorney, of the media, of literally everybody turning a blind eye to the victims. Was it because the victims were black? Was it because the victims were many of them were homosexual? Was it because this was the poor part of town? Why were so many obvious signs ignored? And the system, I mean, literally the last three or four episodes of this concentrated very heavily on the fact that this was bungled terribly. I mean, they even brought Jesse Jackson into this, and, you know, I think they spent a lot of time focusing on that, and I think it's unfair to say that this is just some, you know, way of glorifying Jeffrey Dahmer when you spent so much time focusing on how this could have happened.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think so, too, because, like, the neighbor, I mean, it repeatedly showed her and how she brought up over and over again how she called them every single time. She would hear noise and the smell coming from his apartment into hers, and over and over and over and over again she was
literally ignored. Naked people busted loose from his door, running down the hall screaming, help me.
And they took one back to him. The police took one of his victims, was out on the sidewalk, a 14-year-old low Asian boy, or however you say it. And he was drugged.
Mind-boggling.
And they took him straight back up there to his death.
That is just absolutely incredible. Carolyn Framke of Variety argues that the show, quote, simply can't rise to its own ambition of explaining both the man and the societal inequities his crime exploited without becoming exploitive in and of itself. And I disagree with that. I don't think that's the case at all. I do find this next quote very interesting, and I sort of agree with it. Dan Feinberg of The Hollywood Reporter praises episode 6, Silenced, as, quote, easily the best episode of the series, an uncomfortably sweet and sad hour of TV that probably should have been the template for the entire show, and in placing a black, deaf, gay character at the center of the narrative. The series is giving voice to someone whose voice has too frequently been excluded from gawking serial killer portraits. Like, I thought that episode, Silence, I thought that was like Emmy material. Award winning.
Yeah, that one was kind of heartbreaking too.
Yeah, and that was the one where you were
talking. That's the main one that bothered me, actually. But I mean, from the very first episode, it was a little disturbing because, you know, I didn't know how this was going to start out, like at what point in his story they were going to start. Turns out they start out with his last victim getting loose and him being found out and them bringing him into custody and them bringing in his dad to talk to his dad. And his dad's like, what exactly did my son do? And they said, well, Mr. Dahmer, your son had a head in his refrigerator. And then they went on to name off like several more things. And then they said, before they ended up saying, okay, we're going to step out and give you a moment to, you know, kind of
process
all this. And I was thinking, what? And his dad just broke down. You know, he'd break down and then he'd stop crying. Then he'd break down again. And that got to me. I was like, man, that's something else.
Yeah, and his dad really was a sympathetic character in this, despite his own obvious shortcomings. I mean, there was the toxic.
Well, do you not think the mom had shortcomings?
Everybody did. There was, which I thought was another good thing about this, because nobody was really, other than the neighbor lady, the Glenda.
I think she
Cleveland.
Did. She was right on.
Was the heroic
character. Yes, and she was. They turned a blind eye to her over and over and over, but she continued to, you know, press forward with trying to get something done.
And ultimately was the one that really kind of got something done about it. What was done, there were still a lot of things left in there. But the father, again, you know, he had the toxic relationship with Dahmer's, with Jeffrey's biological mother. He basically left the marriage and walked out on them and argued constantly and introduced him to, you know, this very weird taxidermy hobby they had together. And he himself, admitted that he may have been responsible for this because of, you know, he even made the statement, he's half of my genes, and I had these compulsions.
Yeah, I think it focused on the dad, though, more than it did the mom in that aspect, because the mom clearly left him, just left him there to fend for himself.
With the other brother. Yeah, took the brother.
She took the other brother and left him there and said, I've got a pot full of beef stew cooked on the stove, and basically you're on your own. I'm gone. And, you know, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. But she never came back, you know.
Yeah, for months.
And so he started drinking heavily, much more. And so that played a part into it, too. I mean, obviously he had some issues with that. He has some alcoholism.
Yeah, and that's one thing we haven't mentioned so far, is it definitely portrayed him as a real, you know, hardcore alcoholic. And not that he ever used that, or the show ever used that as an excuse for these killings, just part of the story. I mean, they made it very clear, as did the Jeffrey Dahmer character himself here in this, that, you know, I'm just not right. I'm just, you know, I just do these things. I'm not. He even said straight out several times, I'm not insane. You know, you can try to use the insanity defense if you want to, but I'm not crazy. And I don't know if he was.
But how do you know you're not crazy if you don't really know what crazy is?
Well, I think the line's there.
Well,
you
because,
know?
Like, I mean, he kept saying, I'm not insane. Yeah. But he also kept saying, I don't know why I think these things. Yeah. I don't know why I have these thoughts. I do these things. I do have these thoughts.
The compulsion aspect.
Yes.
Of it, yeah.
So he was aware. I mean, he was self-aware that something was going on. I feel like he cried out for help, but I feel like his dad shut him down that one time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sent him on to college where he failed out of there. And
the army.
Yes.
As well.
His dad kept trying to help, I feel like. I feel like he tried to help him, and you know, those kind of ways. You know, I mean, he you know, encouraged him to get jobs, encouraged him in the army, encouraged him into the college and stuff like that. But he just continued to fall short and fail and not do good.
So one of the things that I felt like this show did stress, despite the criticisms about it, is to hear the victims, to know about the victims, to give shine light on them. So let's actually do that here on this show. There have been some comments made from some of the family, so let's talk about that for a minute. During Dahmer's 1992 trial, Rita Isbell, the sister of Errol Lindsay, one of Dahmer's victims, gave a statement that has been widely broadcast ever since. On September 22, 2022, a Twitter user named Eric, a cousin of Isbell, tweeted a response to the show stating, quote, "I'm not telling anyone what to watch. I know true crime media is huge right now, but if you're actually curious about the victims, my family, the Isbells, is pissed about this show. It's re-traumatizing over and over again. And for what? How many movies, shows, documentaries do we need?" He also tweeted, "My cousins wake up every few months at this point with a bunch of calls and messages, and they know there's another Dahmer show. It's cruel." Furthermore, on September 26, 2022, Insider published an as-told-to essay based on their conversation with Rita Isbell, who shared how she felt bothered watching the reenactment scenes of the statement she gave at Dahmer's 1992 sentencing. "It felt like reliving it all over again. It brought back all the emotions I was feeling back then. But I'm not money hungry, and that's what this show is about, Netflix trying to get paid." Isbell felt that if there had been compensation for the victims' children, the show wouldn't feel, quote, harsh and careless. Well, what do you think about that? I mean, obviously, these people are forever traumatized by this.
Coming from a place that I could never understand from them. So, I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't really know what to say, you know, about that. It's sad that they have to even go through this all the time. You know, obviously they relive it at the time, many times throughout the year. It's something that's always there, a forever hole in their souls that their person, their loved one is gone forever, and this person took them. And so I can't even imagine to begin to know what they, you know. But I mean, there wasn't, so they didn't receive any compensation,
which I find weird, because I mean, I guess it's in the public domain. I mean, this is a news sort of deal, fair use maybe, I don't know, but I would have felt better about it knowing they got, you know, maybe some sort of, you know, college fund for survivors of their children or something, you know, something in there. But I will say this though. So
they, even though they were suing the city, and
I'm talking about Netflix.
Okay. So they didn't get anything from Netflix.
That's my understanding of that statement.
Yeah, no, that I do feel like that's wrong.
Yeah, and if that's actually true, that doesn't
set well. I feel like they should be ashamed of themselves. Netflix should have given them proceeds.
Well, again, assuming that's
yeah, I mean, if it is,
I would say this though, that so what would be the positive point in this? Is this just another salacious money grab for, you know, hey, here's a really shocking story. It's got, you know, murder and cannibalism and all this other stuff that we're going to shock people, make a bunch of money. Is there anything good that comes out of this? I think, yes. I think for number one, it's history. And we all know the old saying, those who do not heed history are doomed to repeat it. I hope that police departments no longer, you know, think about every police officer, myself included, that's what I do for a living, sees this and the, you know, pays more attention to potential victims, pays more attention to those who, you know, yeah, maybe we've been down the same call 20 times and, you know, there's only so much you can do, but maybe even that 21st time you need to really be listening, really be paying attention, because it could be you that's wrong, not them. And, pay more attention to these victims and give more appropriate responses and not shy away from marginalized communities and stuff, just because, as it, you know, it clearly showed, these officers there seemed to be repulsed by the fact they were having to deal with homosexuals and perhaps even African-Americans and be in this quote, poor building.
Yeah.
And like, that sort of stuff. I mean, it's
like they
be
were just that, like they just automatically expected and are used to this type of thing going on over here, and there's no need looking that far into
they
it.
Even said on the radio something about needing to go be deloused.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, if nothing else than a cautionary tale of, hey, you know, look how bad this went, look how wrong this happened, don't do this, let history be the guide here, it's happened before, I think there is a positive aspect in that. It did touch on a couple other serial killers, as we mentioned, which, you know, seemed to be all happening around the same time. I guess Ed Gein was before this era, but
yes, but
Gacy.
That's who they used to compare him mm-hmm. to when they were saying, okay, when we go in court, they were basically trying to talk him into saying he was insane.
You're right, yeah. And because of Ed Gein being, you know, proclaimed that way and living out the rest of his life in a mental hospital
right.
instead. And I thought it was very interesting the contrast between how Dahmer's portrayed here versus Gacy, who was just, you know, unrepentant to the end, you know.
And denial. I mean, he denied it throughout. He never once admitted to.
And it's hard to say who's the more evil of the two. Well, they're not to excuse any of this because it's inexcusable, but there seem to be, like, if you put Gacy and Dahmer together, Gacy just come off as this utterly just irredeemable, hateful, horrible person. And Dahmer, obviously the things he did as well, but he at least owned up to his what he had done and assisted the police in finding the bodies, where it looked like Gacy just wasn't going to have any, he was going to be difficult the whole
way. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that's one thing that he did do that he did not have to do, and some of these bodies may have never been found,
right.
that he told them and helped them in identifying them. But he also kept their license and had photos of them and everything.
Right, right.
So they basically knew who he had killed because he had their license.
This is a hard thing to look, because, you know, every time I talk about, you know, how it was portrayed and how they humanized Dahmer, you feel like, man, I just, you know, I don't want to say anything nice about this guy. He's a monster. He is literally, it's in the title of the show.
I actually even told you that I felt bad because I felt for him in the end of this show. And
So let's talk about how it ended.
Well,
Dahmer's story, you know, ends at the age of 34, right, I think. So you felt a
little. But it swings in the direction of Christianity and yeah. him being saved. And right. could somebody like him be saved?
Yeah, I wonder if that part's true.
Like, well, who knows? But I mean,
he's ultimately killed at the age of 34, November 28, 1994, in prison, and he is murdered by a fellow inmate.
Beat to death.
Yes, I know. I presume that part to be true because I remember hearing about it in the news at the time. See what Wikipedia has to say about it. On the morning of November 28, 1994, Dahmer left his cell to conduct his assigned work detail. Accompanying him were two fellow inmates, Jesse Anderson and Christopher Scarver. The trio were left unsupervised in the showers of the prison gym for about 20 minutes. At approximately 8:10 a.m., Dahmer was discovered on the floor of the bathrooms of the gym, suffering from extreme head wounds. He had been severely bludgeoned about the head and face with a 20-inch metal bar. His head had also been repeatedly struck against the wall in the assault. Although Dahmer was still alive and was rushed to a nearby hospital, he was pronounced dead 1 hour later. Anderson had been beaten with the same instrument and died 2 days later from his wounds. Scarver, who was serving a life sentence for murder committed in 1990, informed authorities he had first attacked Dahmer with a metal bar as Dahmer was cleaning a staff locker room before attacking Anderson as Anderson cleaned an inmate locker room. According to Scarver, Dahmer did not yell or make any noise as he was attacked. Immediately after attacking both men, Scarver, who was thought to be schizophrenic, returned to his cell and informed a prison guard, quote, God told me to do it. Jesse Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer are dead. Scarver was adamant that he had not planned the attacks in advance. Although he later divulged to investigators, he had concealed the 20-inch iron bar used to kill both men in his clothing shortly before the killings. Upon learning of his death, Dahmer's mother, Joyce, responded angrily to the media. Quote, "Now is everybody happy? Now that he's been bludgeoned to death, is that good enough for everyone?" The response of the family of Dahmer's victims was mixed. Some celebrated the news, while others were saddened. Catherine Lacey, the mother of victim Oliver Lacey, remarked, "The hurt is worse now because he's not suffering like we are." The district attorney who prosecuted Dahmer cautioned against turning Scarver into a folk hero, noting that Dahmer's death was still murder. On May 15, 1995, Scarver was sentenced to two additional terms of life imprisonment for the murders of Dahmer and Anderson. Dahmer had stated in his will that he wished for no services to be conducted, and he wished to be cremated. In September 1995, Dahmer's body was cremated and his ashes divided between his parents. But you alluded to his conversion experience before this happened.
Yeah, and I mean, where did they get their information? Obviously, okay, right, you know, how do we know that this even happened for real, right?
Yeah.
But in this show, he did go to the preacher and say he wanted to talk to him and ask him questions, and he asked him, could he be saved?
Yeah, and according to his Wikipedia page, the real-life preacher was Roy Ratcliffe, minister of the Church of Christ, and apparently baptized him there. I wonder, it seemed like from the depiction of this show that Dahmer may have legitimately converted, like it wasn't just jailhouse religion found him, like maybe he was had a change of heart, but who can know, right? Is there any way to know? I guess that's between him and he and God, right?
Right.
So very, very interesting. Just, this thing's all about conflicted feelings, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. While I feel like absolutely not anyone of the 17 people he killed deserved that, then I also have feeling for him at the end when he went and, you know, he wanted to be baptized and he repented of his sins and, you know, even as he was being bludgeoned to death, right before, he told the man, he said that he brought up God into the conversation, and he told the man that was fixing to kill him, he was like, I'm a changed man. He had asked for forgiveness and such, but you know, I don't know.
This is interesting, and we'll kind of wrap up right here. It said, following his baptism, Ratcliffe visited Dahmer on a weekly basis up until November of 1994. Dahmer and Ratcliffe regularly discussed the prospect of death, and Dahmer questioned whether he was sinning against God by continuing to live. Referring to his crimes in a 1994 interview with Stone Phillips on Dateline NBC, Dahmer had stated, quote, "If a person doesn't think there is a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought anyway." So, seems like maybe he started to have some remorse as well there in the end. It's just, again, this is a story of conflicted feelings, of horrible, horrific crimes happening to people that absolutely didn't deserve it. Flaws in the system. Like, this is a terrible story from start to finish, any way you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I had even told this one girl that I know, she said something about she didn't have Netflix, but she was really wanting to watch it, and I was like, man, I liked it. I said, it was really good. And I said something about something that about a sad part. She said, oh, man, I didn't know it was sad. And I'm like, well, I mean, but you know, when you think about it, it really was.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, very much so. It's like it's sad,
it wasn't
for
happy.
Everybody.
No, I don't think there was anything happy about this.
No, from the father to the mentally ill mother to
all
the
way
stepmom.
To the end when the neighbor goes to the the city and is inquiring about the park that she wished to that they promised and were trying, you know,
to build for the victims
in the spot of the apartment complex that they demolished.
Mm-hmm.
They demolished it, but they never put a park there, and when the documentary went off, it said that there'd never been one there. I mean, there still isn't. There's right. never been one there.
Yeah, so this definitely wasn't a feel-good show, to be sure. But it's complicated, very, very, very complicated, very complex. You'd even seen something posted online where some religious people were warning, don't watch this show.
There was a post being shared around that was like, do not watch this show. This show is coming from a demon. If you watch this show, it's going to bring entities into your home and this and that and all this kind of stuff.
So this show evoked feelings, from a lot of people, no doubt about it.
They're like, or if you have already started watching this show like myself, and then you need to stop immediately and, I guess have your house saged and everything. I don't know, but obviously some people really feel, they have a right to feel strongly about it. And especially people that were directly affected by it, not wanting this to come out in the first place and having to relive this again when they live it every day anyway,
I guess I would wrap up by saying, and just see if you agree with this, I would say this is, as far as the art of filmmaking and TV goes, this was very well done on virtually every level. If you are going to watch this and haven't already watched it, if you do so, do it with a mindset not to glorify or bespeckle or look at, rubberneck Jeffrey Dahmer and these grisly killings. Look at it from the perspective of his victims, of which many you will learn more than you ever knew about from this, and learn how to humanize them and their families and this Glenda lady who tried so hard in vain to get something done about this. Those are the ones you really need to walk away from, with something in your mind to always remember. Wouldn't you? Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to this show as we continue to talk all month of October long about Halloween. And I know this is not a traditional scary monster story or anything like this, but it is monster, and these things are... This is terrifying. Jeffrey Dahmer was absolutely terrifying.
Wait, what did Scooby-Doo say? What did Scooby-Doo teach us? That all the monsters are real?
All the monsters are real, yes.
So this fits right in, I think.
Absolutely. All right, so thank you very much for listening. Appreciate you checking out our show. Come over to whenitwascool.com, where we are talking about Halloween and monsters and things like that all month long. In fact, if you've never heard or read the legendary, iconic Victorian-era book, Dracula, by Bram Stoker, we're dropping a chapter of the audiobook every single day in October. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you'll have the whole book several days before Halloween. Listen to that. It's one of the greatest gothic horror novels ever written. So check that out, along with all of our other shows and reviews. It's all about Halloween all month long in October. Go to whenitwascool.com, check it out, and we'll see you here again soon with another show.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. WhenItWasCool.com, and click any Patreon link. Thank you.